Find, if you would, Exodus chapter 3. Pastor, how do I get a hold of that live streaming thing? You just keep coming to the live service. That'll work it out. We'll just keep streaming from right here. I want to preach you a message tonight titled, Under God's Skin. Under God's Skin. You ever had somebody get under your skin? It's not necessarily a pleasant experience. It's not necessarily an awful experience. It's just an aggravating experience. As somebody kind of gets under your skin. A couple of ways they do that. Maybe they just annoy you with a certain tick. You ever sit beside somebody in church and they got a little tick that gets under your skin? So you move. That's where those people went. I didn't know what they did. Maybe the way somebody pronounces their word, or maybe some way that somebody does a certain thing, it's not necessarily an evil intent, it just gets under your skin. Well, I found in the Bible that it is even possible to get under the skin of God. And one of the giants of the Bible and one of the giants of faith in the Lord also had the ability to get under God's skin. And we find this in Exodus chapter 3 will be our text, Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4. And it's hard to believe, but it's actually Moses who's guilty of this. And I think Moses is going to illustrate to us what it is to get under God's skin. And I think that we're going to find some application and identification with even our behavior sometime in Moses' pattern here, that we too have the opportunity to get under the skin of God. Exodus chapter 3 is a very famous chapter. This is the chapter of the burning bush. Verse number 1, it says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and I will see this great sight. It must have been a fantastic sight. Why the bush is not burnt. A lot of messages have been preached on that phrase. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Flashlights and everybody else that's mentioned here. Verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now verse number 10 is a very powerful verse. Come now therefore. Remember, therefore is that platform word where you go back and understanding all the texts. God says to Moses, Come now, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We understand this to be God's call to Moses to come and to be used by God in a marvelous and miraculous way to lead the nation out of the bondage of Egypt. And it's an awesome task. It's a monumental task. It's one that is a work of God. This is God's plan. Will be God's doing. This is God motivating this. And God is getting ready to move in the life of his people. But God needs a person to work through. And so God comes to Moses and says, I want to use you. Now, I got news for you. God still uses people. God couldn't do a lot of things on his own. I understand that. But God still wants to work in and through people. And I believe that he's still doing that today. And so God has a desire to use you. To use you. I hope and pray that you don't sit in that pew and think that you are unusable to God. If you know Jesus as your Savior and you love him and walk with him, God wants to use you. It is a very depressing, discouraging, lonely, boring place to be for a believer to go through life without the understanding of God's plan for your life or the fact that God is wanting to use you. I don't care what you do as a job. I guarantee you that in your job and at your workplace, God wants to use you. The day that you resign yourself or the day that you make a decision that God's no longer using you for whatever reason is a tremendous misunderstanding on your part. And I am finding that as God reveals his desire to use his people and God then in turn reveals his will to his people, there's a battle that takes place in the mind of his people. And usually it's a battle over adequacy. I don't think it's that we don't know what God wants us to do. I just think that we're afraid of what God wants us to do. And really and truthfully, I think God's people sometimes then we begin to fall into this. I'm going to say a word here. I hope it's even a legitimate phrase, but I'm going to call it a sinful humility. A sinful humility. Is humility a good thing, yes or no? Did Jesus say, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in his humility? Yes. But sometimes God's people can hide behind humility. And they build a defense or they build a wall, and what they do to hide behind that wall, they build this wall of excuses. And the excuses that we make, they don't make us evil. They don't portray us in our mind not to be spiritual. They're not aggressive toward God. They're not necessarily antagonistic toward what he wants to do. But they're a barrier enough to where I kind of justify in my mind not doing what God wants me to do. And by the way, there's no justification for the believer to not do what God wants them to do. And the excuses, you know, excuses sound great in your own brain, don't they? Have you ever fashioned a defense against your wife or somebody else? And in your brain, you know, everything makes sense. But as you're spewing out the words and you hear the words, you're thinking to yourself, this doesn't make sense. It sounded better in here than it did coming out. Well, Moses, when God reveals to him he has a plan for his life, a victorious plan at that, a miraculous plan, a plan that is one that God is going to lead and work in and through, Moses begins to offer up excuses. And he offers up five excuses in these passages that I think are still offered up by God's people today. And as Moses offers up his excuses for not doing what God wants him to do, God then responds to the excuses. And the response of God is fascinating to Moses' response. So the call goes out in verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Now look really close at what he's saying here. You're going into Pharaoh. That terrified him because he had to run from Pharaoh because he murdered a man. That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God says to Moses, I'm sending you on a dangerous mission, but you are going to be victorious. And Moses, in verse number 11, I don't think he ever heard the victory part. All he heard was the Pharaoh part. And so Moses offers up an excuse, and it reads like this. And Moses said unto God in verse number 11, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? In effect, Moses says, I can't do that because I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. Who am I that I'm going to go stand in the court of Pharaoh and he's going to listen to me? You would be amazed when God reveals his plan, or me as a pastor, when I go to people and I say, listen, this is an opportunity and here's this or whatever, and they'll step back and they have this thought, I'm just a nobody. God can't use me. And we take this humble excuse in our mind that somehow we don't measure up to some superhero status. Let me tell you something. All of us are nobodies without Christ. Let me just read you a verse because it'll take you till the rest of the time to find it. But I'll read this in Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So Paul's writing to the church at Galatia, and they were edified in their mind, and they were exalted in their thought process, and they thought themselves to be something, and Paul said, you're really nothing. God doesn't use the person or call the person who thinks himself to be something. He calls the person who recognizes that, yeah, I really am a nobody. I really am in need of help. I really am not anything in my flesh. And there is a humility, and that humility God can use, but it's not proper for you to hide behind that humility and say, well, I could never sing because I'm just a nobody. Or I could never teach. I'm just a nobody. Or they're not going to listen to me. I can't go over there and confront that. I'm just a nobody. Look at God's response to that in verse number 12. And he said, God did after that stupid statement, certainly I will, what are those three words? Be with thee. I will be with thee. God said, wait a minute, Moses. It's not about you being somebody or you being nobody. It's about you being with me. This is my plan. This is my work. This is what I'm going to do. I know that you are a nobody. That's why I'm calling you. Because what God wants from our life is not from us to get the glory, but for God to get the glory. And so I'm working through you, you murderer. I'm working through you, you coward hiding out here in the desert. I'm working with you who's been hanging around all these animals, but I chose you specifically to do this job. I know you're a nobody. Don't hide behind your nobody. Come and be with me because I am somebody. And by the way, he's God. So if you're sitting out there and God has unfolded a plan for you and you sit and you think, well, I'm just a nobody. That's not humility. That's going against God. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 13. The conversation goes on. After God promises him that he will be with him, after God promises him that he will bring the people out of Egypt, he gives another excuse. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now, without diving very deep into that passage, I'll just say this. His first excuse was, "I'm a nobody." God said, "I know you're a nobody, but I'm a somebody, so forget your nobodiness and come with me." The second excuse is, "I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I don't even know your name." And you'd be amazed at how many people don't serve the Lord or do what God calls you to do because you don't think you're spiritual enough. Let me tell you about spirituality. Spirituality is not some place that you arrive to. Spirituality is a person you learn to walk with. And so we think, well, when I get to this level of my life, I'll be spiritual and then I can. That's not spirituality. Spirituality is getting in the Word of God. Spirituality is trusting the Word of God. Spirituality is reading the Word of God. If you notice here, God then goes on to discuss and to give Moses a direction. He says, if you're not spiritual enough, get spiritual. Learn what you have to learn. Don't hide behind you're not spiritual enough. Get right. Well, I could never teach a class because I'm just not spiritual enough. I could never work in a nursery. I could never witness to anybody. I have my own problems. Well, I got news for you. We all got problems. You think it's easy to get up here every week and preach? You think I'm sinless? You think the devil doesn't hammer me in my thought process? You don't think he doesn't call me things that he calls you? I could absolutely say, well, you know what? I'm not spiritual enough. Nobody is spiritual enough. But Christ is perfect. And in him, and in his life, and in his protection, he enables that. I could never be spiritual, Pastor, enough for that. He's not looking for you to be spiritual. He's looking for you to be available for his Spirit to work in and through you. Well, I'm struggling. I wish we could eliminate that word from our vocabulary. Because most of the people that tell me they're struggling, they're not struggling. They've quit. But Moses says, I'm not spiritual enough. I hope you are not doing something God wants you to do because you don't feel spiritual enough. I got news for you. You're a sinner saved by grace. That's all you are. He goes on in chapter 4. This is a powerful, another excuse he puts on there. You should write this down. I'm a nobody. I'm not spiritual enough. God answered that question about, you know, that's okay. I'm spiritual enough for us. You just be right with me and follow me. Verse number, at the end of chapter number 3, he talks about what he's going to do. In verse number 4, and Moses answered and said, but, so here comes another excuse. Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And basically, what Moses is saying to the Lord is, I can't be the one to go because they're not going to believe me. I won't be effective. And he's making this thing, and he's trying to put upon the people the thought process. Really and truthfully, if you want to know about it, it was Moses that didn't believe. The mindset that says, I'm not going to serve God. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do in his will and plan for my life because nobody's going to believe me. For whatever circumstance, nobody's going to do this. It's not that they're not going to believe. It's you don't believe. You don't believe. Help me. If we confess our sin, he is and just to cleanse us from our sin. all our sin. And so in God's people's mindset, there's this thought process, well, they ain't going to listen. They ain't going to believe. No, it's not them. It's you. It's you. Now, look how God responds to that. Verse number 2. And the Lord said unto him, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. And God said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. See, I have biblical premise to hate snakes. I'm afraid of them. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said, furthermore, he's given him a good lesson here, put now thine hand into thy bosom. Put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Could you imagine that? And he said, put thine hand in thy bosom again. Absolutely. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. What is God saying? God is saying, listen, it's not about what they're going to believe about you. It's going to be more about the power, my power upon you. Have you ever witnessed Jesus Christ in at a level above your ability and you knew you were doing it? And you get done and you're like, I cannot believe I just said all of that. How in the world did that happen? I'll tell you exactly how that happened. God's involved. And God said, Moses, what's in your hand? A rod. Throw it down. And God knew exactly who Moses was, and God knew exactly what Moses had. And all God wanted Moses to do was surrender to him, himself, and what he had, and to follow what God's plan was. And God would empower that. And God would use that. And that's what God wants you to do in your life. He's not looking for you to have all the answers and tools and the power. He has all of that. He's just looking for you to surrender and go. Well, they're not going to believe me. No, you don't believe that God can use you. It'll change your life when you believe that God can use you, because you begin to develop a burden and a passion and an understanding and an excitement about the day. And here's something from your preacher. If God can use me, he can use anybody in this room. Number 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. The guy just picked up a snake. He just saw his hand get turned to leprosy and back. O Lord, I don't speak real well, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto the servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Sinful humility here. What is he saying? I'm not a fluent speaker. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not the right man for the job. Somebody else can do it better. Now, let me be very careful about something here. Nobody. Can do God's plan for your life better than you can. Moses makes a horrific mistake that people overlook. One of the evils that came out of this conversation with God and Moses was Moses had to take Aaron. And Moses is complaining here and making an excuse here that he's slow of speech and slow of tongue. And Aaron was skilled in that. And so later in the passage, God tells Moses to go ahead and take Aaron. But Aaron was a tremendous source of regret to Moses. Aaron was a hindrance to Moses. And when Moses is up on the mountain, it is Aaron that builds those false gods. It is Aaron that melts down their calves. It is Aaron that stands there and watches that sexual immorality take place that is absolutely as vulgar as can be. It is Aaron that stretches out and says, "These be thy gods." He should have never had that authority. But Moses is making an excuse that he's not skilled enough. Nobody can do God's plan for your life like you can. And so he says, "I'm not skilled." I love God's response to this in verse number 11. "And the Lord said unto him, Who made your mouth?" Don't you just love God? "Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" What is he saying? He said, "I made you, Moses, perfect for what I want to do with you." And I don't know. It amazes me sometimes what you have to tell people. You and I were made by God. Do we agree with that? God made us perfect. Why is human nature so jealous of the way God made other people? "Well, I don't look like her. Well, I'm not what he is." And you would be amazed at how many people don't do God's plan for their life because they're not at peace with how God made them. And so you take a disability, or you take a defect, or you take a handicap, or you take some kind of learning disability, or you take some kind of vision problem, or some kind of hearing problem, or some kind of health problem, or some kind of this, and we automatically think that we're some kind of misfit. I got news for you. God doesn't make misfit toys. Amen. So you're perfectly fashioned for God's use. Moses is not true, because he's actually lying here, because in Acts, the Bible says he was mighty in words. So it wasn't an honest statement. But he was a little bit slow of tongue, and he wanted to hide behind that. And he didn't appreciate the way he was made. And God said, "But I made you perfectly for what I want to do for you, or do with you and through you." Listen, I was not made with a voice to sing. And the church said, "We know, Pastor." But I was made with different gifts. And I was made with different abilities. And you were made with different things. Why are you sitting there doing nothing because you don't think you measure up to somebody else? Or you don't think you can do it the way they did it? God's plan for your life included how he made you. God said, "I made you. I can handle it. I can take care of you." Look at what he said in verse number 12. "Get up. Go. And I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say." See, one of Moses' big problems is, in this whole time, he thought it was all about him. It had nothing to do with him. All he needed to do was be available. Look, if you would, at verse 13. Here we go again for a fifth time. "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." What's he saying? Send somebody else that can do better. Don't send me. I won't do you justice. Okay. The thought that you're going to do justice to God is a sinful thought. Nobody in this room can do justice for God. God's not looking for you to do justice with him. God's looking for you to say, "Here am I, Lord. This is what you want me to do. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'm available for you to work in and through my life." Don't tell God to send somebody else to do what he's calling you to do. You need to surrender and let God do what he wants to do in and through your life. "Well, Pastor, I'm a nobody. I'm not spiritual enough. Nobody's going to believe me. I'm not skilled enough." He needs to send somebody else. No. He made you perfect for what you're supposed to do. We get so afraid of what God's will is And so look at verse number 14 of chapter 4. If I could put it in the hunter vernacular, and Moses got under his skin. The Bible says, and what's that word? Anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God was upset. And God's sitting here thinking, man, I know you're a nobody. I know you're not spiritual enough. I know you don't believe me. I know you're not skilled enough. I know you think somebody else can do better. But I chose you, and I have a plan for you. And it's not about your strength or your ability or your tongue or your whatever. It's about you letting me do in and through you what I want to do for my glory. And by the way, that's what God wants to do. Before God will ever use you, God will do a work in you. And when God does a work in you, then he will do a work through you. And you have a plan, man. Now, I don't know what that plan part of service is, but it's unfair. And it's dangerous. And it's getting under God's skin. For when God opens up a door of opportunity to you, for you to fall in some kind of false sense of humility. That's not humility. That's you not obeying God. And I'll tell you this. I am amazed what God can do in and through our lives. If you are amazed by that, say amen. So don't sit there and mask. If God's directed you and called you, don't make excuses to him. It's not about you. It's about him doing it in and through you. And God has a plan for your life. And so we should probably see more choir members next week. We should probably see more people eager to teach, more people ready to serve. We should see more witnessing going on. We should see more people surrendering to whatever God has for our life. Don't get under God's skin. Are you under his skin? Are you sitting there and you full well know and God's just whispering to you, I told you to go do that and you kept telling me you're not spiritual enough. Do you understand now? I know you keep telling me you're a nobody and pastor's not going to listen to you or the people are not going to listen to you or you're going to be ineffective, but I'm not a nobody. I know you think you're not skilled enough, but it's not about your skill. It's about my spirit, saith the Lord. So get up and go do what I want you to do. Yes, sir, Lord. I'm going to go. So when I did that in my life, I took the first step. And hallelujah, he has been faithful with me every step of my life. And he will be with you as well. Shall we pray?